Good morning, good afternoon, and good evening, and thank you for joining us today. I am Kayla Zafiropoulos, and I'm pleased to welcome you to another session of the Capital Link Expert Talk Series. We're delighted to host today's webinar in collaboration with GMS, titled The Hong Kong Convention at Year One, A Success Story and the Way Forward for Responsible Ship Recycling. As the Hong Kong Convention marks its first year in force, today's discussion will explore the progress made across the industry, the practical challenges that remain, and what lies ahead as stakeholders continue working toward higher standards of responsible ship recycling. We are pleased to bring together a panel representing different perspectives from across the industry, and I will now turn the floor over to our moderator, Dr. Anand Hiramath, CEO of the Sustainable Ship and Offshore Recycling Program. Thank you.
Thank you for the introduction, Kayla. Good afternoon, good morning, and a very warm welcome, wherever in the world you are joining us from. I am Anand Hiramath, CEO of Sustainable Ship and Offshore Recycling Program, and it is my privilege to host the next hour with you. 1 year ago, on the 26th of June 2025, the Hong Kong International Convention for the Safe and Environmentally Sound Recycling of Ships entered into force. A treaty adopted back in 2009 finally became binding law. So today we ask a simple but important set of questions. What has the first year actually delivered? What has genuinely changed? And where do we go from here? To answer that, I am joined by four people who each see the industry from a very different vantage point. The regulator's chair, the workers' line, the trader's desk, and the yard floor. Between them, they cover almost the whole length of ship's final journey. Let me bring them in. Starts with Dr. Nikos Mikilis. Few people have shaped this convention more than you have. Currently, you are the chairman of the BIMCO Ship Recycling Alliance. Welcome, Nikos, to this webinar. We have Mr. Vidyadhar Rane, General Secretary of the Alang Susia Ship Recycling General Workers Association. You bring the voice of the people who actually do this work at the ground. Welcome to this webinar. Mr. Evangelos Hyginias, Senior Trader on the Sale and Purchase Desk at GMS. He brings the commercial reality of where the end of life ships go and what the ship owners expect from a ship recycling yard. Finally, we have Mr. Vishal Soni, CEO of the Leela Group of Ship Recycling Yards. He brings the view from inside the yard gate. Welcome to you all. Let's set the scene with one question. To each of you in turn, in a sentence or two, 1 year on, what does the Hong Kong Convention coming into force actually mean from where you sit? Not the theory, the difference you have seen. Starting with Dr. Mikilis. You helped build this convention 1 year in. What has its entry into force changed symbolically and practically?
Thank you, Anand. The convention's entry into force has definitely marked the beginning of the new era for the ship recycling industry. The three interlinked conditions for Hong Kong Convention's entry into force took 14 years to be met, which is a long time, but in reality, it was a blessing as this gave the necessary time for the ship recycling industry to realize the changing times, to adjust to them, and also to recognize that there are benefits in having a safe and clean industry. The industry's transformation is even more remarkable when we consider that at the time of the convention, when the convention entered into force, all the main four ship recycling countries had become parties to the Hong Kong Convention. This means that now, virtually all end-of-life ships have no choice but to be recycled in line with the standards of HKC, regardless of whether the flag of the end-of-life ship flies is a party to HKC or not. This had been the dream scenario from the time the new convention was being developed. Thank you.
Mr. Rane, from the workers' line, has the past year felt different? What does HKC in force means to the people on the ground?
Yeah, thank you, Dr. Anand. From workers' perspective, the implementation of the Hong Kong Convention has brought greater awareness and focus on occupational safety health, and environmental protection. Workers today receive more safety training, are encouraged to use personal protective equipment, and are exposed to safer work procedures than before. Many recycling yards have strengthened their safety management system and emergency preparedness. However, ship recycling remains a hazardous industry. Achieving zero accident is still a challenge. Continuous training, supervision, and investment in safety must remain a priority. HKC has certainly improved the framework for safer work, but the full benefits depend on consistent implementation and monitoring.
Thank you for the crisp answer, Mr. Hajianias. From the trader's desk, has anything genuinely changed from past 1 year?
Hi, Dr. Anand. Hi, everyone. Thank you for hosting this webinar. It's nice to hear the views from different perspectives from various people across the industry. So yes, to answer your question, Dr. Anand, yes, a lot of things have changed. The supply of tonnage has not been significant, which I think it's a good timing probably in the sense that has allowed the yards to take a step in preparing appropriately and adopting to these new changes that have taken place. And of course, we have seen from the few ships that have been recycled, let's say, over the past year, we have seen questions arising from ship owners with regards to documentary compliance that comes when somebody has to recycle a vessel under the Hong Kong Convention, including, of course, the International Ready for Recycling Certificate and how this procured. But also on the ground, we have seen substantial changes. Either this is in Turkey in the form of ownership yard changes that has taken place during the past year and has affected the vetting of these yards and so on, or all the way to the Indian subcontinent, where we have seen a continuous, of course, steady development in Lalang, which is happening over the past decade, to the other fronts of Bangladesh, where I think a very rapid investment has taken place. And personally, having visited these yards a few months ago, was surprised to see the day and night difference that has developed there over the just the past few years. And of course, I should not forget Pakistan, where it's the yards there have also started investing in order to comply with the relevant requirements. So yes, a lot of things are happening on that front as well.
That's good to hear. Though the tonnage has, there's a limitation on the tonnage, but there is a lot of improvement on India, Bangladesh, Pakistan. Mr. Soni, you represent India, and inside the yard, what is the single most visible change in the year of HKC has brought?
Good afternoon, gents. So in terms of the most visible change is that HKC has given a common platform, a unified framework for everyone to work with. Though the yards have been voluntarily complying to the regulation for the past 11 years or so, but it just coming into force, it's put it across that it's no longer a niche or a voluntary practice. It's become the baseline that's the expectation from everyone now.
Yeah. That's great. Nikos, let me stay back with you. If we have to go deeper into the regulation, because the regulatory picture is where so much of this is decided, right? So we have been hearing about Basel Convention and the Hong Kong Convention, and we also see that they have been set against each other. Now that HKC is in force from last 1 year, how do you see the two regimes coexisting? Complementary, competing, or heading towards convergence? What is your opinion on that?
Well, anyone not fully familiar with the events that have taken place in the last 20 years might be wondering what's going on here. We have the Basel Convention, which was adopted by United Nations Environment Program in 1989, and the Hong Kong Convention that was adopted in 2009 by IMO, which is the United Nations Specialized Agency for Maritime Matters. These two international conventions now appear to be competing as to which one will be regulating the recycling of ships. It must appear very strange that two UN bodies could be behaving like immature and possessive persons. Let me take you back for a moment to the late 1990s, when nearly 10 years after its adoption, the COP, which is the governing body of the Basel Convention, consider whether the recycling of ships should fall under its scope. However, that convention was never drafted with the intention to regulate ship recycling, and the early experience of implementing Basel Convention to ships on their final voyage were counterproductive. And in fact, this was acknowledged in the website of the Basel Convention. These failures led in 2004 Basel Convention's COP 7 to its decision 726, in which it invited IMO to consider the establishment of a purpose-built convention for the recycling of ships. And I quote from that decision, that new convention should ensure an equivalent level of control as that under the Basel Convention. From 2006 to 2009, as we know, IMO worked on the development of HKC with the active participation of the secretariats of both the Basel Convention and ILO. Also from 2006, the Brussels-based NGO platform on shipbreaking opposed HKC from its very inception and lobbied persistently since then at meetings of the Basel Convention and also with the European Commission against the operation of ship recycling facilities in South Asia. What is surprising is that there are people who listen and believe the propaganda of the platform, regardless of the fact that the Basel Convention in the last 34 years has done absolutely nothing to improve ship recycling, while Hong Kong Convention has already transformed the industry. And this brings us to today. While HKC is already transforming the industry, NGO platform is attempting to convince the Basel Convention that the requirements of the Basel Convention of prior informed consent and of the ban amendment should continue to be enforced on the recycling of ships alongside with the requirements of HKC. This has already proven to be unworkable and bureaucratic, and importantly, it will also lead to problems in enforcing HKC. The only practical and reasonable way forward is for the governing body of the Basel Convention to agree that IMO has fully delivered on its request of 2004, and therefore ships that fulfill the requirements of HKC are exempt from transboundary movement controls of the Basel Convention. I hope that...
That's a very comprehensive answer. You made my life difficult. What questions I should be asking you now, right? So you are the chairman of BIMCO Ship Recycling Alliance. And what did the alliance set out to do this year and what it has actually delivered in last 1 year?
I'll say two words about the alliance first. BIMCO Ship Recycling Alliance was inaugurated in November 2024. The purpose of the alliance is to coordinate the voice of the ship recycling industry and the shipping industry on issues of safe and environmentally sound ship recycling. In addition, the alliance's goal is to help ensure global acceptance of HKC and to help the consistent implementation and robust enforcement of the convention. The membership is extensive and includes the ship recycling associations of Bangladesh, India, Pakistan, and Turkey. It has three major cash buyers, several individual recycling facilities, a number of ship owners and ship owners associations, three IX class societies, and observers also from administrations of some flag and some recycling states. The Alliance conducted its work through working groups and which are set up by the plenary. Presently, we have two operational working groups and one that we are discussing to activate later in the year. The first one is the Working Group on Hong Kong Convention Implementation. This focuses on the problems and concerns that arise during the early days of the convention's implementation. With a broad membership of the Alliance, we are ideally placed to identify and potentially to develop and propose solutions. The second working group, also in line with the core purpose of the Alliance to support HKC, we have the Working Group on Basel Convention Matters. This has prepared and presented a submission to COP17 expressing support for HKC and as a single global international convention for ship recycling. Then, in preparation for the Basel Convention's open-ended Working Group 15, the Alliance submitted a further paper summarizing the regulatory developments that have taken place while stressing that the current uncertainty leads to legal ambiguity, which undermines the regulatory framework. I believe that we also managed to sensitize senior officials in ministries of shipping and industries in recycling countries of the disconnect that exists between the participation at IMO and the participation of their compatriots from ministries of environment who attend Basel Convention meetings. Better communication between this type of officialdom is imperative in order to resolve the mess we have found ourselves in. In addition to the above, the Alliance has had some detailed communications also with CMI, which is the Comité Maritime International, a very ancient body of maritime law. This resulted in a decision last month by the Executive Committee of CMI to set up an international working group to study and to provide a legal opinion on the problem that has been created by the overlap of the two conventions. I have high hopes that this senior body's work will add some clarity that is very much needed. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikos. We know that there was an Basel open-ended working group meeting that was going on. What the industry should be realistically expecting out from that open-ended working group meeting? And what outcomes would you most want to see for a ship recycling?
Let me explain first that the open-ended working group is a technical forum of Basel that's held in alternate years to the Conference of the Parties. And its function is to respond to requests set by the Conference of the Parties, the COP. So the 15th meeting of the open-ended working group is taking in Geneva this week, as we are talking, 23 to 26 of June. And amongst other issues on its agenda is considering an instruction received from COP17 to consider the position together with four documents from parties and five documents by observers. My prognosis for the outcome of the open-ended group has not been good, as the European Union, led by the Directorate General for the Environment of the European Commission, has stated that in their view, HKC needs to be strengthened before it may be deemed to be equivalent to Basel Convention, so that an exemption from Basel Convention may be considered. All in all, it appears that we may not expect a resolution to the overlapping and conflicting requirements of the two conventions soon. But then again, you never know what happens. You ask me what the outcome that I want to see. I believe what I want to see is the same as what the ship recycling and the shipping industries want to see. And that is nothing less than the proper recognition by the Basel Convention COP and by the European Commission that HKC works efficiently and that it should not be impeded and therefore to receive an indirect acknowledgement that the large investments made by the ship recycling industry to achieve compliance has not been in vain.
Yeah, looking at that, you know, in coming year, in your view, what should be the two or three priorities one should be working at, looking at this conflict of HKC, Basel, and other issues in place?
It's interesting to start with the IMO. The IMO will consider, starting from January 2027, the implementation of HKC as it's taking place, and this work may well lead to amendments to HKC. I see a grave danger that may come by an effort by some stakeholders to appease the bureaucrats of the European Commission, who, after all, must be having a naive political agenda to bring ship recycling work to European yards. Their reluctance to accept HKC and ship recycling in South Asia may well lead them to attempt to make compliance with HKC unnecessarily harder. In this respect, the South Asian countries and their ministries in particular must understand that Article 11 and Article 19 of the Convention can be used to veto any unacceptable amendments, and this power really must be used wisely. Other than that, tenacity and much more work will be needed to engage with officials of governments who can positively influence any future discussion of the Basel COP. The Alliance must also continue its good work and focus on the need for proper implementation of good standards. Thank you.
Thank you, Nikos, for throwing a light on all the issues and what one should be able should be doing in the coming year. From regulations to workers, because ultimately workers are the one who will be doing the work at the ground. So let's hear from Mr. Rane. Regulations live or die on the ground as well. So in plain terms, what does the Hong Kong Convention mean for a worker in the ship recycling yard? What has actually changed in their life from last 1 year?
The past year has brought some noticeable continuing challenges. On the positive side, workers have seen increased attention to safety, emergency preparedness, gas-free certificates, and training programs. Many yards have strengthened their safety management systems, and workers are now more aware of occupational hazards than before. The implementation of Hong Kong Convention has also encouraged greater monitoring by yard management, and regulatory authorities. However, for the average worker on the plot, HKC is not just about compliance document or international recognition. What matters most is whether they return home safely after work, receive fair wages on time, have access to medical care, decent accommodation, social security, and stable employment. While safety standards have improved, workers still face concerns regarding job security, contract employment, living conditions, access to social protection, and effective workers' participation in decision-making process. Many workers feel that the benefits of HKC have been more visible in infrastructure and procedures than in their overall social and economic conditions. Therefore, to the people working in plots, HKC in force means a positive step towards safer and environmentally responsible ship recycling, but its success will ultimately be judged by whether it delivers decent work, dignity, and long-term welfare for workers and their families. The journey has begun, but workers believe there is still significant work to be done before the full promises of the convention is realized.
Thank you. You have not only covered what has been improved and also pointed out what is being expected next out of this. This expectation can be out of HKC or it can be out of ILO's requirements. But in one line, if you can add how you can strengthen the current HKC convention from the workers' point of view, I agree with you that there has been a tremendous change when it comes to health, safety and environment, which the HKC has brought in. There is a waste management, there are trainings being done. But what could be that one important immediate point you are looking at that HKC should address?
If you could add or strengthen one thing in the convention for workers, that would be, and why that one? If one provision could be strengthened, it would be the establishment of a mandatory occupational health surveillance and social protection system. For all ship recycling workers are exposed to various hazards whose effects may only become visible years later. Regular health examinations, maintenance of health records, early detection of occupational diseases, treatment, support, and compensation mechanism should be integral part of workers' protection. A worker may have industry, the worker may leave the industry, but the health impact of exposure can remain for life. Therefore, protection should not end when a worker leaves the industry.
Well, thank you for the comprehensive answer on the clear-cut expectations that you have, and you also agree that this is year one and the journey has begun, and I mean, you know, how the things will keep on adding to it as and when required. But most importantly, as you may agree, there might be a regulation, there might be a worker at the ground, but without the ships, both of these things will not work. So let's move to the person who brings in the ship. Let's turn on the commercial engine of all of this. Mr. Hajianis, you sit where the ship and the certificates meet, right? From a trader's desk, how difficult it is in practice to secure, as of now, an international ready for recycling certificate, because it's mandatory now, HKC is in force. And where are the real bottlenecks as a trader?
Thank you, Dr. Anand. Well, with every new regulation coming into force, obviously different stakeholders need to get adjusted to the new reality, right? So I think one of them is also, of course, the classification societies and the flag states, depending on the ship that we have in question, right? Which are responsible for the issuance of the for the issuance of the ready for recycling certificate. In theory, I think it's very straightforward. What it is required, what are the requirements of this item? Let's say, which for those unfamiliar, it's basically the ship owner needs to provide the IHM, the inventory of hazardous materials, basically the part one, which is basically maintained throughout the life of the ship. Now this from new building up to the last day of life of the ship. Let's say. And the parts two and three, which are mostly related with the operational items that are on board the vessel, like bunkers, lubes, what else, like consumables, let's say, overall, right? These are being updated up to the last minute before the vessel arrives at the ship recycling facility. So that's the one requirement. The other one, of course, is the sales contract that is required. The yard that is importing the vessel or is intending to recycle the vessel, who is in return has to provide, of course, its certification. Either this is HKC certification from a classification society, or most commonly acceptable nowadays, the DASR, the certificate that is basically issued by the government of its country. Which authorizes and confirms the compliance of the yard with the FOGO convention. And once this document is procured, of course, it is required a ship recycling plan, which is procured from the recycling facility. So these simple three, four items that we just described are being provided to the flag and the class of the vessel. And accordingly, depending on the requirements of each one, they're procuring within a matter of few days the ready for recycling certificate. Now you have other classification societies that want to physically verify this information, and might you might hear requests that they want to go on board, or others that basically rely on the flag state for conducting the same on their behalf, in cooperation with the vessel's crew, the management, and so on. So to just address directly your question, Dr. Anand, it's a very simple process, but depending on the experience of the people involved, it might end up having some delays or complications, let's say. On the practical point of view, we have seen ship owners that they just don't want to get involved with a process, and they decide to sell a vessel on a seaways basis at the port of delivery A, and basically cash buyers like GMS are arranging for the transportation to the ship recycling facility, in which case they are responsible for this whole process. A bottleneck in our experience, you know, after having done this several times already, nothing from our perspective. From a ship owner that is not so much experienced with this, maybe he has to educate a little bit the classification society or the flag state on how this needs to be addressed, because usually there are questions coming over a topic that is freshly new to everybody.
Yeah, thank you for the comprehensive answer. You actually answered two, three of my questions well in advance, I believe. First thing, you initially, when the webinar started, you initially clarified there is a, in the last 1 year, there is a less tonnage flow. And the bottleneck here is not a bottleneck for the person, for the company or the people who are experienced in knowing how to, once you submit a proper documents, there should not be a problem in getting an international ready for recycling certificate. But now, as you know, in India, Bangladesh, Pakistan, all three countries have now HKC compliant yards. When a ship owner decides to recycle a ship in an HKC compliant yard, and you know, most of the ship owners start shortlisting the yards. What exactly from the trader's desk you get to hear from the ship owners, what they expect in an HKC compliant yard? Because this is not just an HKC compliance, because already there are 115 yards which have voluntarily got compliance from a classification society. But this is some expectations from a ship owner on from that particular yard. So what exactly it is like, what gets the yard into to listed ship owners approved list?
Over the past 5-6 years, since 2020, before the at the beginning of the COVID time, let's say, right, the supply of tonnage overall, as you correctly stated, has been very slow, and a lot of things have changed also from a ship owner's perspective. In the, and depending who the ship owner is, on the items he's requesting or the criteria he's looking to meet when he's intending to recycle a ship. So to go straight to your last question, and then I'll go back to the commercials, let's say, or the supply and demand that you asked before. Going to your last question, what the ship owner is looking for. Depending who's the ship owner. If you are looking at a ship owner that owns one or two ships only, or you are talking about a stock-listed company, or you are looking at you know, at a European Union-based company or elsewhere with the regional requirements in the world. I think nowadays the ground reality is that the HOCO Convention is the only regulation that basically is common for everybody. Otherwise, you might have a European Union ship owner flying a European flag that has different requirements comparing to a vessel that is not flying a European Union flag. So I think as a basic standard, what everybody is looking for nowadays is the compliance with the HOCO Convention. They are looking, of course, at the certification related to this. And for those that are doing a little bit more due diligence, are also going and checking physically the yards to see the level of infrastructure there, to just ensure that the yard is meeting their own criteria, let's say. Which, of course, raises questions if there should be different standards within the industry, if there should be a type A or type B of approved plots or not. But the reality is that we see some owners doing that for their own reasons. And they're doing also their own due diligence. I mean, in some cases, you have big known companies that are hiring companies like yours, Dr. Anand, the SSRP, to go and vet the recycling facilities and basically confirm that they are meeting the criteria of the regulation as a sort of cross-checking of the certification in place, if I may put it this way. But yes, I think the common ground that everybody has nowadays and they should be having is the compliance with the Hong Kong Convention, which means the certification, but also the process that is going to handle the recycling. And that's why I think it's important to, for somebody to keep a note of what Dr. Michaelis was saying earlier, that in essence, the Basel Convention is just some paperwork to get to the recycling facility, which in some cases it's creating a lot of hassle. Let's say when it comes to transportation, and it does not address the actual recycling, which is what the Hong Kong Convention is doing and what we should be really be focusing on.
The benchmark is HKC, and it all depends on the where the ship owner is coming from, which regulation it applies to, and what ESG, if I can say, he is currently looking at. So based on that perspective, he will be, the particular ship owner will be shortlisting the yard. We have Mr. Soni here. What view you have on this? Basically, you are the person who is, you are the people inside the gate. You know what exactly is happening. You have seen the development and you have seen the expectation from different ship owners on the same yard. So, Mr. Soni, if I can ask you, you have lived this year on the ground at Alang. Can you take us through that? Specifically, what has tangibly changed inside your yard in the past year?
So, Dr. Anand, we were one of the first few yards to voluntarily comply to HKC way back in 2015. So, if I have to be honest, there wasn't a dramatic transformation for us was because we've been living the convention for the past 11 years. We've been recycling as per the regulations for the past 11 years now. And we've already invested in infrastructure, worker health and safety, regular health checkups, benefits, accommodation, transportation, hazardous waste handling, just to name a few. So our systems are developed. We have an integrated management system. So all of this is basically already been into force for us for so many years. What has changed is that now from the convention, from being voluntarily, has become a mandatory international standard. And So our focus has not been about major adaptation or anything like that, because you already have been living this for the past so many years. It's just complying with any additional requirements or dealing with any other new regulatory body that we have to, according to the local laws. In many ways, the biggest change has not been the way we recycle ships, because we've been doing it in the same way in and out. And HKC has shifted the attention just from being to infrastructure alone to consistent operational excellence. So that's what we feel.
No, I really like the word, the operational excellence. It means that the HKC has created the impact which it was meant for. But we understand, I mean, all of our viewers also might already know that the journey of ship recycling transition, it is not just started now in India. It's a decade-old story. It started from 2015. As you rightly said, you were one of the four yards which received HKC compliance back in 2015. So it's an In altogether, it's an 11-year journey for you people. And when it's a transition, it's just a documentation transition. It's not a transition in the infrastructural wise at the yard. But when we say documentational transition, because now it's voluntary to mandatory, as you rightly said, how many yards in Alang have currently received a documentation of authorization to conduct ship recycling, the DASR, which is required for the traders like Mr. Evangelos? Because they need to arrange an international ready for recycling certificate for you. Can you throw some light on that? How many have received a DASR? What is the current status in India as of now?
Dr. For the as a matter of fact, there are more than 115 yards which have received HKC compliance from either of the classification societies. Maybe the number's more, if I'm not wrong. GMB has already started issuing DSR, if I'm correct. 11 yards have already received the DSR as of yet. There are about 27 or 30 in the pipeline, which should shortly receive it, including a few of our other yards also. We already have two which have received the DSR. The two will be receiving them shortly. It's the thing that the process has been streamlined and the pathway is clearer, and we expect the number of DSR authorized yards to rise significantly in a short period of time.
Yeah, Mr. Evangelos talked about there's a less number of tonnage, but if you could look at the ship recycling yards, in the last 1.5 years, there are dark fleet or a shadow fleet, you can call it as. Has it really impacted on the green recycling practices at the yard, and how the compliant has been when it comes to recycling those ships, and whether those tonnage really help to pull out the lack of tonnage in India? Because yesterday I read in the news that India is the world's largest ship recycling destination for 2025, because 35% of the international tonnage ended up in India. So what is your view on that?
The shadow fleet presents a challenge and an opportunity in the sense if it's handled through proper channels and with the necessary regulatory approval that's recently demonstrated. In terms of tonnage for green recycling yards, it is not affecting them because these vessels are not accepted by any of yards, including ours. So therefore, this sort of tonnage is not into play for all the compliant yards or the green yards. Yeah, from a market perspective, it does affect the recycling industry in a broader manner, because obviously these vessels are sold at a significantly lower prices, etc., and they can disrupt the local market. But for green recycling yards, this is like a no-go area. So as such, this tonnage does not qualify for what they would probably recycle.
Perfect. So now HKC is in force. Now DASR is also being issued. There is a transition in the South Asian yards. If I look at Bangladesh, they already have issued about 26 or I mean 30 DASR, including some interim DASR to 6 or 7 yards. If you now the authorities have taken over and the enforcement is in place, how exactly the HKC requirements are ensured at the ground by these authorities? It might be a downstream waste traceability. Is there any third party involved by the regulatory authorities who will supervise on their behalf on the effective implementation of HKC at the ground?
So as such, the compliance is being verified in multiple layers. We've been doing it for the past 11 years. It's just that now we have another regulatory body. And in that sense, GMB is taking a proactive step after we have completed our DSR audit with whatever class we're associated with. The GMB does its own audit on ground before it is before the DSR is approved. But now, once things are falling into place and everyone is getting familiarized again with the regulations and the requirements, all these things are closely tracked and closely monitored.
That's great to hear. Before we close, one quick round. A single sentence from each of you. No preamble, just the headline. In one sentence, what is the single most important thing that needs to happen in a coming year or two? Starting with Dr. Michaelis, followed by Mr. Rane, Mr. Rivangelos, and Mr. Soni. Give your one-line answer.
Thank you. The ship recycling industry must not relax, but must maintain the standards it achieved when working for its compliance. It must not lose heart when faced with the reckless positions that are taken by the European Commission, the Basel Copen, always by the shipbreaking platform. Let me finish by wishing a very happy birthday to Hong Kong Convention.
Thank you, Nikos. Yeah, Mr. Rane.
Thank you, Dr. Anand. After completion of 1 year entry into force of the Hong Kong Convention, we can say that the progress has been made in improving safety and environmental standards. However, true sustainability in ship recycling will only be achieved when equal attention is given to workers' health, welfare, social protection, and dignity. The workers must remain at the center of all the future improvement. Thank you.
Mr. Evangelos?
Thank you. Well, that's a hard one for one sentence only. If I have to pick one thing, I would think it's to resolve the conflict between the Basel Convention and the Hong Kong Convention. I would pick this one because that's really what's making practical life difficult around these regulations.
Thank you. Mr. Soni?
So here too, according to me, should be about consistent global implementation and enforcement, like Vagelis and Dr. Nikos said. It's ensuring that the same standards are applied through all recycling destinations and a level playing field is created and there is no confusing regulatory overlap.
That brings us to the end of a genuinely rich hour. If I draw the threads together, first, the regime is now real, but enforcement is the test it still has to pass. Second, the worker and the downstream remain the unfinished work for this convention. And third, the market has split into two tracks, and year two is about closing these gaps. My sincere thanks to Dr. Nikos Michaelis, Mr. Vidyadhar Rane, Mr. Evangelos, and Mr. Vishal Soni. HKC at 1 year is not a finish line. It is a foundation. The way forward is ours to build. Thank you. With that, I will turn the floor back to Capital Link for a few closing remarks.
Thank you to Dr. Hiramath and our distinguished panelists for sharing your insights and perspectives, and thank you to everyone who joined us. Today's conversation highlighted both the progress made during the first year of the Hong Kong Convention and the continued collaboration required to advance responsible ship recycling globally. The discussion is available on Capital Link's website at www.capitallink.com and across Capital Link's channels on YouTube, Spotify, and Apple Podcasts. On behalf of Capital Link and GMS, thank you again for joining us. We appreciate your participation and look forward to welcoming you to a future Capital Link Expert Talks webinar. Thank you all and have a great day.